Welcome to Red Meat, the conservative news update you need from Odyssey stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in. Lots of left-wing pundits and even people who support the GOP and want it to win Congress in the midterms are saying that President Donald Trump will end the war in Iran before the next election for the sake of votes. But Annie Fry sees it differently. Here's her take.
Wait, yeah, so he turned on the news, and here you have Iran lobbing missiles at U.S. troops in Jordan. The way the news was covering it, I'm like leaning into this going, is this a big deal? What's going on here? And they're saying essentially that all the missiles that were being fired upon the U.S. troops in Jordan are being shot down, being intercepted. No casualties of any kind at that point, and I think up until this day, at this point in the day. But you do see that Iran is starting to get a little feistier. They're trying to fire on U.S. troops that are in the region. And the punditry that was on there commenting about it was saying this has to do with the economic D-Day that was enforced on Iran. I've seen a lot of people commenting and reinforcing the idea that the midterms are not some sort of timeline boxing in President Trump on what he has to do, what he feels obligated to do because for whatever particular reason, we can't be in this pickle in October. We got to put a nice little wrapping paper around it, even if it's a mess on the inside. Let's make it look good in October so it doesn't affect the midterms. I don't really feel or get a sense from President Trump at all that that's the case. The economic D-Day that is being enforced for against Iran also, my understanding, is it's a way for us to combat Iran, to hold them at bay without having to be, you know, well, I think a lot of people, I'm one of them, is just like, go into Iran and take care of business and get it done. Are you on that camp? Like, whatever you got to do, get in there and get it done.
No, I mean, I'm not saying no, but I just, this is going to sound so lame, but I actually trust that the administration is doing this right. So the decisions that they're making, I'm not saying that they will be perfect, but they have a lot of intelligence, and I think the right people are there that what they decide to do, I'm okay with. And so if they're deciding not to go in, I'm okay with that. They're really putting their heel down, though. I'm not, you know, so if they do, I'll say okay.
You trust the Trump administration?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I am 100% with you. I don't know anything about this stuff. This war's been like 7 or 8 months. It's not a forever war right now. I would really like to know that it's going to be over sooner than later. I think we all would. I think President Trump would. Iran doesn't. Iran wins if it's a forever war. That's the issue that we have to remember, that the perpetuation of war, scooping up the United States' attention, resources, taxpayer dollars, ammo, whatever it might be, that's the win isn't a culmination and a completion and Iran gets the W. That's not how Iran wins. Iran wins by it never ending. And they've been doing it for 47 years. And President Trump has said enough. And he's gone in there and he's wanted to get this done and ended once and for all. I don't see the president in a position right now where he will do what every other president has done, which is to try to make it neat and tidy for a political benefit.
And in the latest from the administration, J.D. Vance wants people to stop calling it a war. Here's Bob Rose.
What's going on with Iran? Vice President J.D. Vance yesterday said he was extremely skeptical that the U.S. hit a wedding party while carrying out strikes on Iran, that Tehran is claiming killed at least 18 people throughout the country. Asked if the war would be over by November's midterm elections, Vance said, I wouldn't call it a war. Interesting. A U.S. official confirmed to CBS News that no military facilities in the Middle East where Americans are based were impacted after Iran claimed it targeted U.S. forces in Kuwait and the United Arab Emirates in retaliation for strikes. All right, so that's some of the latest there. But always going on and simmering in the background is our adversary, China. China, China, China. Maria Bartiromo, she heard that she was being fired from Fox, which is a fact. And she said the reason behind it is Fox sent down a memo going, yeah, we're not doing a bunch of Chinese exposés and their funding and all the propaganda that they're putting out and all that. And they said, yeah, we're not doing it. And apparently Maria had, you know, like some plans, you know, maybe producers working on it, et cetera. And this is how the theory goes. And then she ended up sending that memo, allegedly, to the White House. And maybe there's some blowback to Fox, the higher ups got wind of it, whatever happened. And, you know, and is that serious enough to let her go after 12 and a half years?
Man.
Or are there extreme sensitivities about the Chinese? You know, their tentacles and influence has been growing exponentially over the last two decades.
Oh, yeah.
And their money really is everywhere. You don't see it everywhere because it doesn't say, hey, this is funded by the Chinese Communist Party. They specifically go out of their way to make sure that that's not clearly evident, even though most people in the know that's exactly what's happening. What was it? Chinese money that built that whole Biden pen thing.
Yes.
It was like, I don't know, at least $8 million had flowed in from the Chinese Communist government. Did they even have, they have like an office there?
Yeah, pretty much.
One of their reps did have an office there.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
Well, you remember the Chinese police stations in New York City?
Yes.
Monitoring Chinese, I mean, come on.
We've had like pop-up labs in different cities run by the Chinese Communist Party.
We have no idea where all they are.
Nope. So, in light of if Maria did get fired for that reason, all the more reason why I'm going to double down on my coverage of China. One that I got was from the Heritage Foundation. Is China working against U.S. data centers? Now, this is a recent article, but a lot of the information is going to be based on previous information. But anyway, CCP-linked actors have aggressively amplified anti-data center voices in America, even as Beijing generously subsidizes China's own data centers. So they're putting out all this information, says data centers bad. Not only do they not believe that, they want to lead the race toward AI, and they want us to falter. And they're using propaganda to do it, and I've got to tell you, the unfortunate thing about this is, one of the many unfortunate things, is it has been working. It has been working. It worked on all of us at some point, didn't it? If you're honest, you're going to use this much water and suck it out of the aquifer? I don't think so, pal. That's the first thing I said. And then when they talked about sucking power and that would raise the rates for all of us, I said, strike number two, no way, no how. Mm-hmm. Then I found out they're huge noise generators and aggravating to have around you. So I'm like, yeah, no. That's not going to work in Florida. And then, who was it? Byron Donalds. Mm-hmm. He comes out all for the AI.
Right.
And then he catches wind of, Americans aren't on board with you.
Right.
They have different information that you have. They're paying attention to TikTok and memes and things that look professional.
Right.
Oh, this is the Americans for, you know, clean something or good something or something. And they're telling me all this stuff, so yeah.
It must be true.
Yeah. So Byron Donalds actually kind of adjusted his messaging a little bit because he didn't want to turn so many people off to that whole thing. But and actually, here's, as long as you address those issues, which apparently are very addressable and have been addressed in some scenarios, then I understand the importance of a data center. Yeah. Over the past year, the Trump administration's efforts to position the United States as a global leader in artificial intelligence have drawn increasingly left-wing criticism. And that's just the way the Chinese Communist Party likes it. Uh-huh. CCP-linked actors have aggressively amplified the anti-data center voices in America. Chinese entities have a long history of collaborating with far-left causes. They have again found common ground in opposing the construction of data centers. They're pushing mutually reinforcing messages that criticize a host of alleged environmental and ethical concerns as reason to disempower American growth in a critical economic and competitive sector. Then I have another article. The social media platform X, formerly known as Twitter, has uncovered a massive suspected Chinese bot farm conducting influence operations online in the U.S., including pushing an anti-artificial intelligence and anti-data center narrative. A bot farm, a massive one. It's no longer conjecture. It's no longer wondering. It is an absolute fact that they do not want us to build data centers. They do not want us to win the AI race. And they are using every trick in the book to convince Americans that it is a bad, that data centers are bad. They're the devil. Data centers equal the devil.
Back to humans. Here's Tara Servatius on immigrants and crime.
Democrats totally put upon and offended at having to hear about the violence Americans have suffered at the hands of illegal immigrants. Note their callousness. If they ever had total power, it's a sign of how little they would care about human life. Except they'd have a lot of power. Jaw dropping. CNN panelist and left-wing podcaster, sitting next to a conservative, her name's Lee McGowan, when the conservative commentator said, you know, we've just had a woman, you know, strangled to death by an illegal immigrant, liberal podcaster Lindsay McGowan rolls her eyes. You want to see the video of that? It's on my X feed. I can't show you video because this is obviously radio. Rolls her eyes, big eye roll, and talks about how sick she is of hearing about these women just dispatched by the most valuable people on earth, illegal immigrants. She just doesn't have to put up with it anymore. Take a listen to this.
Temporary does mean temporary. So eventually this individual may have been ordered to be removed. And I think it's kind of insulting that we're talking about this immigrant instead of Brianna Connolly from Massachusetts, who was strangled last week by an illegal alien. Why is the focus never? Why is the focus? It's exhausting for you because your daughter wasn't the one strangled.
Oh my God,
it's not exhausting for the parents of Americans who watch their children get murdered by illegal aliens. The bigger issue.
Can you imagine tuning into CNN where this is this sort of psychopathic mentality is the norm? And it's your daughter who was strangled by the illegal immigrant? Your mother, your loved one, and you hear it's exhausting to talk about this. Illegals killing people. Let's talk about something else. Well, we could talk about something else if Democrats wouldn't get in the way and would let ICE remove them before they strangle innocent American women to death. You could practically hear the eye roll there. Exhausting. But what have I been telling you? Even if you are a liberal woman in good standing, if you make the mistake of getting killed by an illegal, you will be mocked, vilified, and canceled for the crime of bleeding at the hands of the illegal, because you have embarrassed the party, and you don't embarrass the party. Which brings us to this, folks. Do you realize where we are now in this country? 5 years ago, 10 years ago, Democrats who absolutely are socialists and want to be socialists and want to run with totalitarian regimes and don't mind having to kill 100 million people to get there would have totally voted for that resolution to condemn socialism. And then the next day we'd have gone insane on talk radio going, but no, they're really socialists. They won't even cover their tracks now. Do you realize that resolution didn't just condemn socialism, but was very specific? Condemn the authoritarianism, the totalitarianism, the dictatorship, and specifically, this number was written, the 100 million people killed to further socialism. And only 8 Democrats voted to condemn. You're thinking, that's yesterday's news. Yes. Now here's where it gets worse. The Democrats, two of them, who voted with Republicans to advance that resolution condemning socialism, mass murder, totalitarianism, and the murder of at least 100 million people are being punished by the Democrat Party, according to Axios. Punished! Stripped of their committee memberships as punishment. So if you're not down specifically with dictatorship, totalitarianism, socialism, collectivism, and yes, the mass murder of 100 million people, if you dare condemn the mass murder of 100 million people, you will be punished by the Democrat leadership and stripped of your committee assignments. Let that sink in. And ask yourself, they're really going to do this, aren't they? Punished for condemning that? Yes, it embarrasses the party. Oh, like when Democrats, people who are otherwise Democrats, get strangled by illegal immigrants and they die, and that embarrasses the party. So it's exhausting to talk about them. We should talk about something else. It's embarrassing. Like that. Can you see how that murder of 100 million happened? There's people just like this. The absolute psychopathic lack of humanity. Shocking. So Hakeem Jeffries goes to Punchbowl, talks to Axios. He's the minority leader. And he's sputtering with rage. He's embarrassed. He says he blames this on the whip. Wait, wait, wait. Normally, we support 100 million people killed if they disagree with us. We love that. Normally we support totalitarianism, but the whip, she didn't do her job. And throws her under the bus. Well, Nancy Pelosi then piles on and throws Hakeem Jeffries under the bus. It says, well, under my leadership, no one would have defected. We had order. We all agreed the mass murder of our enemies was good. And damn it, we voted that way. Nancy Pelosi actually weighing in here, saying this would have never happened under my Democrat leadership. We'd have all voted for mass murder and we would love it. Wait, what? And folks, the reason I say that, it's specifically said in the final version, 100 million people killed. And you will now be punished if you are a Democrat, if you're not on board with that. That's where we are, folks. I tell you all the time, best advice my dad ever gave me. He said, people will tell you who they are. They can't help it. I think it's a gift from God. He said they will spend most of their time covering up who they are, and they'll do a very good job, but they can't hold it all in. And you will have that incident, that comment, that something that's going to tell you who they are. And it will contradict the other 98% body of evidence. Listen to that one and ignore the rest. Because they can't help it. They can't help but tell you who they are. And that is what happened this week. They can't help but tell you who they are. They are people who punish their own party members for condemning the mass murder of those who disagree with them. That is who they are. But it's very easy to go, well, this is just one vote. And well, they're a little crazy, a little afraid of losing to Hassan Piker, whose position on the matter is that the blood of capitalists should run in the streets and that America deserved 9/11. Yeah, but the rest of the time, they don't seem crazy. I'm going to ignore the 98% of evidence. No, this is the week you do not ignore the evidence before your eyes. This is where we are now. Ask yourself, if they ever get power again. You seen that meme online? Well, you can vote yourself into it, but you got to shoot your way out. Can we get out of it if they win again? What will it take to get out of it? I mean, folks, we just had an amendment on the floor it would have launched a constitutional amendment saying, hey, we're not going to pack the court. It failed. When they pack that court, Bill of Rights dies. No more free speech, no freedom of religion, no freedom of association, zero privacy. Although that one, the Fourth Amendment's already gone. Will we have to shoot our way out of it the next time they win? After this week? It's a serious question. We need to begin debating it immediately.
Thank you for listening to Red Meat, a collection of conservative audio from Odyssey's talk stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in, listen wherever you get podcasts, and smash that subscribe button.